Eco Village. You are tuned to WBFY LP, Belfast, Maine, 100.9 FM.
And what a good move to be tuned to your Belfast community radio station. My name is Vic Treadwell. I'm down in the studio here with the mayor of Belfast, Eric Sanders.
How's it going, man?
Going great. How about you?
Doing good. Just had a little special delivery to Tall Pines and Harbor Hill, so I want to talk about that.
Go.
Tuesday night's council meeting. There's been a lot of there was a negative article. I don't want to put or a mistimed article about Harbor or about Tall Pines and its Medicaid score and all that stuff and you know cleanliness and all that stuff and it was in the big paper down south and got
kind of a kick when somebody was down.
It certainly felt like that, and so I put myself in their shoes. And I said to myself, I said, you know, if I'm 70 or 80 or 90 and I'm sitting in a nursing home called Tall Pines and this stuff comes out and I suddenly see National Guard people in hazmat suits walking towards our building and I'm looking out the window, I'm pretty certain those people inside right now that have not been impacted, and that would include staff and residents, are terrified.
Sure.
So I thought the article was crappy, and kicking somebody when you're down is a good analogy. And so and so did the council, come to find out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we started that the Keep the Faith Fund.
Right.
And the council said, along with Aaron Herbig, city manager, why don't we do something for Tall Pines and Harbor Hill as a city? And so I had the honor, and I mean honor, at 2 o'clock, Jody Stout, she's the general assistance queen, and Norman Gilmore, he is the city maintenance director or whatever. He's Norman Gilmore.
Yeah.
So that's his title. And so he drove, they went up to, and Hannaford's donated some waters and stuff, and he had his pickup, and it was loaded with Gatorade and snacks, and I had a couple of checks that the council thought would be appropriate, $1,000 each.
Yeah, yeah.
Because both Tall Pines and Harbor Hill have excellence programs and things like that. And when you drive in there, so we drove in, right? And it was actually heartening because my grandmother back in the 70s, my dad and I, when he was alive, we had to move her into the nursing home in my hometown. So, I mean, you know, that's 43 years later, you still get the same feeling. And it's there's all these cars up there, employees, and you know, you can't go in or anything, but my God, they lifted our spirits and continue to lift our spirits as they fight their battle. So we dropped off all this stuff, and they're going to let it cool down or whatever they do for 24 hours. And
sure.
And saw some people through the windows, and Jody Stout and Norm and I, We hit Tall Pines first, and Matt, I think, I can't remember his last name, I apologize, the CEO or the director of Tall Pines came out, along with some National Guard, and, you know, he was thanking us, and I said, brother, we thank you, like, let's get real here. So, it's telling to me, as the mayor of this beautiful city, it's telling to me that the community spirit has been so robust. So that's what we just did at 2 o'clock. And Tall Pines and Harbor Hill are in front of mine. And Harbor Hill hasn't had any cases, but
sure,
they're both longtime residential places.
Sure, and aren't they?
Vulnerable people. Vulnerable people.
Sure. And I heard you say that the city council peeled off some city.
We dropped some coin on
that,
on
was
both
that
of
from
them.
The fund or just straight out of the city coffers?
Oh, boy, it's straight out of the city coffers. Yeah. And again, it's been a blur of a week.
Sure. But I would imagine, too, that over time, Tall Pines and Harbor Hill have been contributors to the city coffers, too. They probably
pay some
taxes or whatever.
I know part of our civic responsibility as a council and the staff is going to be the budget for next year and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that was money well spent.
Sure.
And so I think it goes to excellence programs and the staff and to the, you know, sort of like rewards and also to the, you know, just to them to use however they see fit. And both groups were outstanding to meet. And, I'll be honest, right? Mm-hmm. We're all concerned about, you know, a virus you can't see and stuff. So I had on two masks, two pairs of gloves.
Right.
And the jeans and coat that I wore are now in the wash.
Mm-hmm.
And because I got a family too and stuff, and sure. You worry. So, but the people in both of these places are the same. Are the same people that I feel that we need to emulate from their past actions when they've lived here their whole lives. You know, it's just like you've got living history in both of these locations in people.
Yeah,
and we have had 10 pass. I didn't even see the report today yet. I've been so busy. But, you know, Tall Pines has taken
a hit.
And to be a staff member or a resident, it is very important that the city and citizens of Belfast know that they know that we care and we want to help. And it's hard to help, right, when the doors are locked and you got National Guard.
Right. Speaking of that, I remember from last week you said that they were kind of sending out a call for people who wanted to work there and that they were paying extra hazard pay. And how's that gone?
Well, a friend of mine who was in, an acquaintance who was in Annie, the musical, with me as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Applied and started there at Tall Pines this week.
Ah.
And so, but yeah, they're offering, I don't know what they're offering in terms of pay, but I don't know if you'd call it hazard pay, but they're certainly paying, they're looking for workers.
Right.
But they also, there's more of the council. Neil Harkness has organized, I don't mean to single just Neil out, but all the councilors, but I got a lot to share here.
Yeah.
Neil, said or is assisting in bird feeders that the nursing home people out their windows bird feeders so birds could come and eat the
so they have say stuff to look at
just look at
mm-hmm.
and there's hearts there those hearts that white sheet with a big red heart that you might be seeing around town.
Well, I saw you hold one up on the city council meeting.
So that's our hearts are beating with theirs, and the hospital.
Hmm. What's the news from there?
Well, I haven't heard any news,
okay.
Except they were treated. They Mike Hurley started a GoFundMe, and I think in an hour raised $1,100 on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a taco truck over there. And I keep reiterating this. I know it's hard on them.
Sure.
But the powerlessness that we feel to be able to help, it makes it so urgent to try. So, and you got to be safe and all that. But I have seen this community soar in regards to spiritual care for all of these places that are under the COVID threat.
Mm-hmm.
So the council stepped up, continues to step up. The go-to, the Keep the Faith Fund is robust. We had over $20,000 in private donations in a week.
Right.
And the 150 from the city.
And where is that money going? What's that money for?
Small businesses. Uh-huh. Of which we have over 200 in
mm-hmm.
Belfast city limits. anybody who applies that's a small business qualifies, and the qualifications basically are not complicated. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
But they get a $500 grant from the city to try to smooth their path.
A little boost.
It's almost late April, and most people were shut out of the small business grants the first time around that I've heard.
Right.
And so the Congress last night or today just passed another, you know, just a Band-Aid of $500 billion.
Right. The first one got, some of it got snapped up by the
Ruth's Steakhouse.
By the sandwich chain.
Yeah, well, they're returning their $20 million.
Nice.
And Harvard, I've heard my kid's going to go to Harvard, but what I'm hearing is Harvard didn't apply, and Harvard never accepted anything. Trump just sort of made it up, but they didn't apply, but so they're not taking it.
Geez.
But it's America, right? But Belfast it's $500 for a small business.
Right.
It's $100 food voucher for a family, I think, and it's $50 extra per child, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's at Hannaford's or the co-op.
Right.
And I have noticed, you know, I don't mean to just isolate the ones I know, but that's what I'm going to do.
Sure.
I've never been down there because I don't drink, but Front Street and their little side restaurant, Harborwalk Cafe or whatever it's called, Harborwalk Restaurant.
Yeah.
They did some takeout now. And neighborhood's been consistent with their takeout, Daily Soup. But Delvino's is coming back with a couple nights a week. So I think part of the problem with small business restaurants is they can't do it 7 days a week because they can't guarantee the turnover of food. So they're sort of limiting it to a couple nights a week and trying to spread it out. But people are able to pick up curbside takeout and not eat whatever they've got in their pantries. And it's, again, a small thing, but to see these small businesses trying to reestablish some footing is a good thing because it's a little pulse of life in downtown.
Right.
Which we need.
I seem to recall a couple of weeks ago at the city council, you were talking about somebody getting a takeout window
Alexis,
put in.
Alexis, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I've seen Ted's car and some employees, and I'm looking for the takeout window so I can order my meatball sub, but it ain't up and running yet.
Okay.
But that is the theory, is that, and of course people are standing on the city-owned sidewalks, right? But the theory is that you call an order or whatever, and then you pick up curbside, and so there's no inside activity from anybody.
Yeah.
I see another small project as I was coming in here that Hurley's doing on our working heroes. It looks like essential businesses, and the list is long.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I see gas stations included in that. I see the bus drivers up at the high school. And, you know, so it's good. If anybody wants to call in.
Yeah, I was just about to break in. You're listening to WBFY 100.9 FM LP in hometown of Belfast, Maine. I'm here with the mayor, and we are. Do you have more things that you want to do?
Well, I'm trying to rattle it off.
Okay,
we're
going to open up the phone lines.
Yeah.
338-2277. We'll get you into the studio, and we'll get you on the air with the mayor.
I got news on transfer station too.
Go.
So yesterday morning, I took my trash out. And former chief of police, I guess he's the chief of trash now, Mike McFadden, he hollered at me and gave me a one-pager that Fiberite, which is the huge place where all the general trash goes, up in Hamden.
Right.
Most of your mid-coast communities have stopped recycling because of you don't want your transfer station employees to be touching stuff. So come to find out, the one pager was pretty good news because a lot of people in Belfast recycle.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a lot of squawk in a good way about why can't we open the transfer station up for cans? Why can't we open up 2 days a week for this or that? And because of our employees.
Right.
But come to find out, if you throw any and all recycles in your darn trash bag, in general trash, it goes up to Fiberite, and it's a huge, long process. It's all automated. And it sorts out anything that's recyclable. So people were worried in Belfast that recycle heavily, that they couldn't recycle. Well, if you just throw your recycles in your general trash, it gets recycled, and the end up at Fiberite.
Wow, cool.
Glass, metal, plastic, and it sorts and cleans. And so that's big news, which, you know, because right now we're still under the close-off by the Gov, and if City Hall's closed, I mean, our transfer station is open for general trash and debris, I guess. But the other thing was their employees up at Fiberite have specially designed OSHA-approved, CDC-approved protective gear. So throw your recycles in your garbage. Go out to the transfer station. Put it in the trash. It's $3 a bag. And all of your recycles get recycled. So cool. That's important.
Yeah.
You know that.
That's good news.
You're a hippie.
Hey, yeah. I got it. I just this morning took the one under the counter and took and sorted it out into the things out in my thing. Turns out that's extra work, right?
In this case, it is, because it gets done. So, and that's a side issue. The most valuable issue to me is the people at Tall Pines. I don't mean to overdo that, but I am. That is my primary focus. As it should be. And you look at nursing homes across the nation, this is a common theme.
Sure.
And you look at Georgia's reopening. Yeah. Other states are reopening. Like, and you look at these graphs, and we did flatten the curve.
But we open too soon, then we get a bounce back, and we've wasted all of that effort to flatten the curve.
I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine. I'm glad I don't live in Georgia.
Right.
For several reasons.
For several reasons, yeah. But there was that, there was that thing, I guess it was last weekend of all the publicity for the people crowding the beaches in Florida and so forth.
Yeah.
And then the Borowitz report this week was pretty funny. He was claiming that New York had instituted an order that anyone coming to New York from Florida had to take an intelligence test, had to take an IQ test.
Well, I'm sorry if I seem a little inebriated today. I took the president's remarks seriously yesterday, and I have drank some bleach before the show, which may be altering my my ability to think, but he says that that's going to cure it.
Oh, yeah, right, and shoot up some Lysol.
He'll deny that. He'll deny that today. But all joking aside, wash your hands, wash your face. I washed my shoes when I came back. I bleached them. Came back because I've read that people's shoes are where a source of contamination comes from. I'm going to switch gears for a second.
Go.
I did something today that brought me peace, happiness, relief, and joy.
Excellent.
I went fishing.
All right.
At 6 o'clock this morning. And my friend and I, the judge, I call him, Eric Walker, he caught a pretty healthy brook trout. And, of course, we both bought our licenses on January 1st, but don't need them apparently this year. But getting out in the woods, of course, I used off and all that stuff. It's like I've become a chemical, right, between the bleach and the off and all the hand sanitizer. But I guess my point is, get your butts outside.
Yep.
and breathe some air. And I came home from fishing, and my kids, two of my kids, they've decided to I don't know what the hell they're doing. They're raising it. In the behind my garage, they've decided they're going to put a garden in. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a garden there years ago, but then there was a trampoline there. Then there was that. So they've uprooted the yard and are making demands for dirt and seeds. Mm-hmm. But I saw the city crews out picking up sticks and branches today, curbside. Spring is here.
Yep.
And you can tell that when it's 20 at night and 50 in the daytime. But get outside.
You bet.
And because everybody's staying at home, sheltering at home, if you pick up your phone, the news ain't heart-lifting, right? And if you watch the news or listen to the radio. But if you go outside, my neighbors were burning the back of their yard up there on Alto. I think it was the Gilmans. I hope it was the Gilmans. I came home and there's pretty, I'm doing a visual here, about 3 feet high flames and smoke all over the neighborhood. But I think they're burning, I don't think they might have blueberries or something back there, but
right.
They burn off their...
Sure.
And then my oldest was rototilling the backyard with no concept of what to do after that. And he had gotten it from my next door neighbor. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was like, God, I had 5 minutes of just life.
That's great. Yeah, and...
I mean... That's a big deal these days, man.
Sure, getting out and getting things done. I'm taking steps that way myself.
Yeah.
Turns out the bicycle shop,
yeah,
which has moved to next to Rowley's,
yeah,
is in business. He wants you to call him before you come by, but I took my bike down there and it's getting its spring tune-up and a new front tire, so I can get out and bicycle and work on these pounds that I'm carrying around.
That's a big ab. That's what that is.
Well, you know, I do, or at least I did up until lately, the a lot of child care, and Kaloyan, among others, kids have long been trained that this is the tum drum. They can they can walk up and drum on me.
Wow.
Anyway.
That's Chris Gardner that owns that bike shop.
Mm-hmm. CG Bikes.
Yeah, and I've known him 10 years, and the number is on the window. Of the shop. It's just to the left of Rowley's there.
Yeah,
and I think it's
on Facebook and
Downshifter Coffee or something that he's getting.
Yeah, there's a when I brought the bike in, there was a guy in there working, setting up his coffee shop.
Yeah.
And that's really optimistic for, you know,
well,
getting ready to open sometime.
I don't want to share secret news. I don't think it's terribly secret, but Quench has moved up across from Alexia's there,
mm-hmm,
on the High Street, and they're renovating in this downtime, that
yep.
shop. And so there's things happening. What I am not is a small business owner.
Right.
So I think the governor is talking about yesterday, there's going to be a series of four stages or something, and I will say that people are probably ready for something other than sheltering at home, but it really is going to be dictated by the data that the CDC gets from the reality
mm-hmm.
of the virus in the state.
Yep.
And if you don't like it, you can move to Georgia.
Right.
Or Florida or South Carolina or these. I mean, everybody's starting the process of relifting, but you know, I don't know if we're in a depression, a recession,
right.
Surreal moment in life.
Things are going to be weird.
So you go with the flow, but yeah, getting some real life bicycling.
Mm-hmm.
I do know the trek across Maine, which until last year, I believe, or the year before, always ended in Belfast. Now
right.
It starts and stops in Brunswick. They're doing a virtual one this year.
Right.
I will not be attending that. people are making adjustments. University mm-hmm. of Maine saying their plan is to have school in the fall.
Right.
And, you know, there's probably going to be some social distancing and stuff. So it's April. We've been in this reality about a month, month and a half.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sometime in early March.
Well, the city shut down March 17th. Was
right.
So, and today's 24th. That's 5 weeks.
Yeah.
If we can't handle this five to 10 weeks, And if we can't handle it with the knowledge that it's going to definitely save lives and definitely save hospitals, mm-hmm. Room and stuff, then, you know, I think we can and should. And yeah. I think it's going to find out who we are.
Very good. Yeah.
I've talked for 25 minutes straight.
Right. Well, you're an actor and a politician,
oh,
right?
Oh, God.
I'm gonna change topic just a little bit.
Please.
The radio station. Hey, we are not only still broadcasting 24/7, whether you like it or not, but we've got almost all of our DJs. Some of them are their older shows are just being replayed, but many of them are now producing from home.
Yeah.
When we set the station up, I particularly focused on making sure that we had the ability to produce from elsewhere. I didn't realize a virus was coming along,
no.
But it we're accepting DJs. We started a new show last week. We got another new show premiering this Sunday. It's an active thing. If anybody wants to get involved, and it's something that you can do from home, and in fact, I think it might be a fun thing to do as a family project. You know, hey, here's the Sanders family show, and
yeah, that's a bad idea.
Okay, well, some families, as a project, as something to do, as an educational kind of project too. You know, it's like here, produce some radio, because all you need is a computer connected to the internet and a simple mic. We've even had some people do it with a little built-in mic in their thing. It sounds awful, but
that's... Well, it took my kids... Well, so I got three kids, and one of them is... he just drove me to... He's got his permit and drove me to Waterville and back to get the bread for Courtney, but the other... It took them about a month before they ran out of things or got tired of internet and all that, and mm-hmm. now they're out in the back cutting up the yard for a garden. Like, patience as a parent in these times is difficult, but the kids will end up all right.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think the high school, Jeff Lovejoy, the principal, I don't know if I talked about this last week or not, at 8:20 every Friday night for 10 minutes, and that's 2020 military time, and I don't know what the mm-hmm. connection is there, but 20... Oh, I get it, 2020.
It's the year.
Okay. See, I'm mm-hmm. from Missouri.
Class of 2020.
Took me a while.
Mm-hmm.
So at 8:20, every Friday night, Jeff, who is the principal,
yeah,
Lovejoy, is flipping on the high school football stadium lights for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could say, so what? But it reminds us of those kids, and it also, I think a byproduct of all of this is there is a lot more niceness out there. We were going at such a rapid pace. I don't know if you remember 2 or 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Rapid. And now it's, then it stopped, and then we're like, oh, what do we do? And then now we're all like, oh, okay. So, but 10 minutes, and it's a way to recognize the seniors who will not have a graduation.
Right.
If they do, it'll be in August, September,
yeah.
Homecoming. And the school's going to do well. The school's done an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
The remote learning, they had 1 week to set up the remote learning that normally they would take a year, and yet they did it in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good value there, if you ask me.
Yeah. So. 2020, the year of hindsight.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's been occurring to me is that this is an opportunity to look back and think of, wow, things we could have done better to be better prepared, things, ways we could have organized our lives to be more, ready for trouble, because we're just past the peak of the American civilization, as far as I can tell, and a lot of us have been just kind of coasting along, and we're even the poorest person in America is richer than most people in history,
yeah.
And most people on the planet, and we've been taking it kind of there's been a lot of complacency and a lot of arguing about irrelevant stuff and posturing and fake newsing and all of this. And with the year 2020, the year of hindsight, we can look back and say, wow, maybe we ought to do it differently going forward.
Well, that'll be one of the interesting things that come out of this with the if the majority of the country does a staged recovery, if you will, a slow reopening, there may be some things that we're doing right now that we continue to do. You know, they talk about the new normal, but maybe the new normal ain't so bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I was flipping busy. Always busy, but I was overwhelmingly, my mind was busy with all the stuff going on in the world and all the stuff happening here and the speed of, you know, exchange and ideas. And, you know, this is more like 50, what was it, the Back to the Landers. This is more reminiscent of that. And I aspired to that. So here we are, you know.
Yep. A forced pause to reconsider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let us reconsider and let us make some small but meaningful adjustments.
Heck, big adjustments.
Okay, well.
Medicare for all. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speaker and not necessarily of WBFY or the city.
I'm all for it. I don't know. I mean, if we can't, if you know, right now the big sway is, are we even going to be able to have an election in November and all that crap? And well, oh, of course,
bloody well better.
I know, but you know, I mean, right. But our national government is so large and so splintered, and so what's the word? Well, one party against the other, yeah. not
divided.
Not bipartisan.
That's right. Bipolar, I think, is more like.
They're totally partisan. Yeah. And but you get down to the local level, it ain't that way.
Yeah.
And that's important. I'm a Democrat, and that's fine to say. But I'm not a liberal. I bet you probably are.
Oh, that's right.
My wife is a liberal. Mm-hmm. I'm a very conservative Democrat.
Yep.
And that's okay, too. But on the local level, one rarely gives a hoot about party affiliations.
Sure.
Because the town is the only thing, the town.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's hope we come out of it rapidly, fingers crossed. But if we come out slowly, let's come out together.
Yep. Well, I was a socialist before being a socialist was cool.
Oh boy, great!
The thing is, everybody in my again opinions expressed on this program are those of the speaker. I think this is pointing out how actually socialist all of us already have been. There's a lot of things that are much better done by the collective, by the group.
Yeah.
Things like fire departments and roads and hospitals and stuff like that. That private enterprise does very badly or very jippingly. You know, I think America was the original socialist experiment anyway, in terms of, you know, lots of things done collectively and by collective decision making. You know, and anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
So no calls.
No calls. Well, I'm trying to stir up the pot a little bit here.
Yeah, right.
But that's fine. Hey, I'm glad everybody's rolling along, got no big worries.
Well, everybody's probably outdoors. It's like, what's the temp? The temp is like...
About 70, I think, when I left the house.
No, was it?
Oh, no, wait a minute. I must have been looking at the indoor thermometer. I got one of the two other...
Well, 52.
Still, that's not bad. Yep.
And tomorrow, sunny and 57.
Right,
and so we're in early summer.
Get out there and stretch your legs. Hey, I tell you what though, I did run a song on my one of my shows yesterday, my noontime show yesterday, about our perennial enemy who will be here soon, the black fly song.
Yeah, well, see, the judge and I were talking this morning because the pickings were slim with the brook drought, but when the black flies start bothering me. Or when you're walking in the woods and they're hovering or whatever they do, biting. That's also when the fish bite.
Sure, because that's fish food.
Right. So we're in early stages of fishing, but we saw some other fishermen and women out there today, and it was good to get out, and the creeks are full, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, you
and
can.
I'm going to say this respectfully, but for 8 years I've been driving to Waterville every week. And I got a friend of mine who's on the council over there, and I work with him. And I like Waterville, but if you look at their downtown, and they're making some big improvements, I like Waterville, but had Belfast made some choices with big boxes and things like that, if you wondered what it might have turned out, just take a drive to Waterville, because their downtown is relatively quiet. And the money coming in is from Colby, largely, to renovate these buildings. But they got a long slog ahead of them, you know, and that was a former mill town and all that. But Belfast was blessed with a wonderful downtown that has been maintained and continues to thrive. And if we can get some of these small businesses, if we can get some type of all clear, not all clear, but slow clear, from the governor and the CDC, then I think people are going to be itching to get back into action downtown, and that's just going to make everybody feel better. But it's going to take some time. I heard. I just got a cell phone message from U.S. Cellular saying free data through July 31st, and they did that before through April. So what they're doing is they're I'm trying to get guesstimates on stuff, and if your cell phone provider is giving you free unlimited data because they don't want you to struggle through July 31st, that means they've made a calculated decision that a majority of their people that have their program are going to be needing heavy usage. And when you're sheltering at home and we're checking on your phones, and that's what heavy usage is.
Hey, I was just talking to my...
Makes me a genius just to think of that stuff.
I was talking to my sister out in Santa Fe, and their situation is...
That's not a struggling town.
No, they've done real well. They started early on the precautions and distancing and stuff. And, you know, the Navajo Nation and some of the other places are having a lot of trouble.
Oh, no.
But anyway, I'll tell you that story later. Okay. Here comes our phone call. Stand by.
We do one call a week.
Good afternoon, WBFY. This is Eric.
Oh, hi, Eric. This is Rhonda Simon. I have a quick question for the mayor.
Sure. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Mayor Eric. It's great to hear you, and I'm glad you're doing this. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
But, a quick thing. It's come to my attention, a number of people just chatting, not, you know, appropriately 6 feet apart, that some of the people from the Sheriff's Department have been released from the local jails, and I'm wondering where they're going. I mean, where are they? Do they have places to go? I know many are not from Belfast necessarily, but when we release people, is there a plan, or do we know that they're going to homes, or what's happening?
Boy, I tell you guys never give me a softball question, and I appreciate that. I do not know, but I do know that I can find out, and I will report back at next week's show.
That sounds great.
And let's start with that. I do know that nationwide, as a matter of fact, governor executive orders are the quickest way for a lot of things to happen. And so a lot of governors have made executive decisions for parole boards to look at people that they can parole early. I also know that a lot of places have made determinations for lack of a better phrase, inmates or prisoners to be released so they don't get sick. So,
Sure. Where
do they go?
That we increase the homeless situation, or that we inadvertently, or do our family? You know, just curious what the follow up is, if there is any.
maybe we can get the sheriff to call in here and let us know.
Yeah, we got the hospital last time. I mean, we might as well give it a shot.
Sure.
I don't see where that would be much of an issue on a Friday afternoon either. So that's a great question. Don't have the immediate answer, but I'll get it for you.
Well, that sounds great. And also, I happen to know the number, you know, but if you want calls, maybe we should say what the number is.
Oh, yeah, we did give it out earlier, but it's 338-2277. That's the studio number here.
Good to hear your voice. You take care.
Great. Thank you so much. Yep. Okay, stay safe.
Bye-bye.
She's a sweetie. That's a great question. It's amazing how little I actually know, isn't it? Let's see.
No, come on. Ease up.
But I think she's
so
got
Sheriff, a good point. So, Sheriff, if you're out there listening, give us a ring, 338-2277.
I tell you what, there are a few people in this world that I don't want to hear from as a dad or a parent or me.
Right.
And that would be the police department, the sheriff's department, or the IRS. That's just in no particular order. I will find out and we'll get some information and maybe I can get them to call in. You know, because we had a very robust reentry program.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the specifics of who's being released. Are they from the reentry program to start with? And where do they go and what do they do? It's a great question. If we can get some data. I'm sure there's privacy with some of the info. But in general, if we can find out,
sure,
we'll let Rhonda know.
Yeah, well, also, maybe we can get Dale from the county department to call in, too. And tell us what's being done at the county level.
Well, what's going to happen with, I was talking last week, and I think I mentioned a lot more people are out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more people are driving, a lot more people, I don't know where they're going, but they're out and about, a lot more people walking. And a lot more people riding bikes and stuff, except for you.
Yeah. Well,
but you will shortly.
Tomorrow, I get my bike back.
But, you know, as people get out and about, too, we'll probably get more information. If you look at the total number of cases in Waldo County, and I just want to bring it up on my phone here real quick, because we were at about 45 cases.
Mm-hmm.
Or 47 or something, I heard this morning, in Waldo County. And so if you take a moment to think about that, 40 of those are at Tall Pines. So
right.
I would have to say kudos to the citizens of Waldo County in general.
Mm-hmm.
If we have outside of Tall Pines 5 or 6 cases in the entire county, that's pretty stringent self-awareness and self-motivated.
And self-discipline.
Self-discipline.
Yeah. Hey, so while you're looking that up, let me finish what I was saying before the
Please.
Phone rang. The out there, a lot of the non-essential businesses are open at the curbside level, you know, called in order.
Yeah.
So in particular, my sister happens to be one of these knitting and sewing types, and she was able to call her fabric store and have them put together an order, charge it to her credit card, and basically, you know, she was able to walk up and pick it up at the front door of the store. Is that going to be one of the kind of the steps of the reopening of going to things of that kind?
We'll have to ask the governor. I think that one of the city of Belfast, generally speaking to this point, takes the guidance, interprets the guidance straight from the state,
mm-hmm.
and more specifically, the CDC.
Right.
And we take that sound scientific advice,
mm-hmm.
and we apply it to the local level. So far, it's worked really good. The governor yesterday talked about looking at data and perhaps a 4-stage recovery or reopening.
Right.
I know golf courses, I don't golf, but a lot of golfers are like, come on, really? Can't we golf? So I don't know. And they went to the governor and she said no.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
you know,
it's not out on the course that's the problem, it's the locker room
right.
that's the problem.
So, but I got the information here.
Yeah,
three more Mainers passed overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And the state had 28 more cases reported today.
Right.
And The bulk of the new cases, 12 out of the 28, were from Franklin County. I'm not even sure. Is that Western Maine? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I think so.
And then three people that passed were Kennebec, York, and Cumberland County. So 47 people have passed in the state, and 10 of those are from Tall Pines. However, if you look at our state population of 1.3 million, give or take, and we are at 965 cases, that's pretty good flattening, but that next step becomes very critical. When and how much will the governor allow? I think she's been spot on in protectiveness, but you know, small businesses, you know, can only be closed
so long.
And you know, if they get some of this stimulus from the second round of the government, good for them. Unemployment nationwide, it's like 30 million out of 140 million active workforce. So 30 divided by 140 is, that's the national unemployment
20%
right now.
20%, something like that.
22, let's see here.
Yep. And by the way, Farmington is the county seat of Franklin.
That's what I thought, because I did the trek across Maine for 10 years, and the first night's completion, and we stayed at UMF dorms, and every morning, the next morning, we'd get up really early to leave, and we'd pass our courthouse heading out of town.
Yep.
So 12 cases over there. So that's about national unemployment, about 21.5%.
Yeah.
Yikes. So what does it mean in Maine? Who knows? But the governor's, that's a tough job right now.
Yep.
So, all right, brother, you good? Any other questions for me? Or
It's quarter of, and
play some of that Honolulu.
Well, let's see. Actually, the computer's, the next thing the computer's got queued up when we turn it back on, Tower of Power with Keep Your Monster on a Leash.
See, I'm okay with that. I am okay with Tower of Power because I know who they are, and I'm down with that. Yeah. And my monster's name is Henry.
And he's on a leash?
He's on a leash, and excellent. He's at home sleeping on his leash.
Excellent.
Let me talk about Henry for a second. My dog, Henry, clearly psychotic, right? So, loves his mama, like lives for Courtney. But he'll be barking. He'll bark at you in the house and just yap, 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 and bark, bark, bark. And no reason. But then you go and you put his leash on him in the house, and then it calms him down. he knows he's not going out. He's just like, he's on leash now, so he behaves better. What we need everybody in Waldo County to continue to do, and Belfast in particular, is to be on our best behavior with social distancing, with washing and scrubbing your hands. Do not drink disinfectant or ingest it, no matter what the president says, and who the hell knows what he'll say today. But And get outside.
And keep your monster on a leash.
Keep your monster on a leash, baby. And we'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And we're out.
Crank that baby up.
great, but what the hell?
Hello, this is Vic. You're listening to WBFY 100.9, Belfast.
Maine.
You're listening to WBFY 100.9 FM, Belfast Community Radio. We are radio by and for our friends and neighbors. Find us online at belfastcommunityradio.org, on Facebook, or call 338-2277.
Slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Absolutely
nothing.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah.
to me. Oh, oh.
Come here.